Hello, my friends. As always, I'm excited to be back with you today. It is nearing Christmas here in my world, and I got thinking about love and different images that occur for all of us in our relationships, but especially in those in which love is most prominent, those in which relationships in which we're most intimate and most connected. I'm reminded of how we each individually respond to love, because it's different for all of us, right? This is a strange phenomenon for me, but it's also one that I understand at a personal level. I'm human, you're human, we all experience love, but there are some different pieces here that I can relate to you with, and so I want to explore that a little bit. I believe for most of us that we're prone to experience love based on conditions. It's kind of like this dual process that goes on in our minds. And for some of us, it's really warped. But I think for most of us, again, it is this dual process. So let me just draw you a picture of an image of love that I witness regularly. I'm sure you're going to be able to draw the same picture. A couple meets. Immediately, or not some, maybe not always immediately, but shortly after meeting, there's a physical, emotional, or mental draw to each other, right? Like I said, I'm sure that you can easily visualize this along with me. It's that sappy look when they sit across from each other at the table, and this natural instinct that they have that they reach for each other's hands. It's just this idea of longing to be together, so much so that often when new couples meet and they have this sense, this we call it electricity, right, that they actually begin to alter their schedules a little bit to fit each other into those schedules. Okay, that's scene one, the meet, the greet, the connect, whatever you want to call it. Scene two of this love scene, we have really jumped here, and now let's say the couple's married. And this couple has to compromise on a situation, and the decision's going to weigh more heavily for one of the partners in a negative way, while the other is going to reap benefits. I'm not saying this is a negative situation in their relationship. I'm just suggesting that one of them is going to bear more burden while one is going to bear more benefit. But a choice has to be made, and so it's made. And it's not the burden of the making of the decision. It's not the decision itself that I want you to see here, but it's this conversation that takes place between this couple. And for one, or for both of them, it has this resemblance of being a child at home, where the wrong choice or the right choice has the ability to keep you out of trouble, because that kind of edges its way into relationships. Because again, relationships are individuals bringing in their stuff. And so this is what's taking place in scene number two here. So let's jump to love scene number three. This is my easy or fun way, I don't know, my way of describing this. But at this point, we have a couple who's been married for a number of years now, and they're happily married. There's no wrong thing going on in their lives. Just like the norm for most marriages, they move in and out of events, some of serious consequences, and patterns of the relationship are established at this point. And love looks much like, boy, that doesn't make sense when I started to say that. It's this love that is occurring between the two people has really shifted into their individual as well as their joint version of love. And so a couple things that I want you to see here is one, that I mentioned that this couple's happily married, okay? I'm not suggesting that our individual patterns create disharmony, because part of our relationship is compromise, right? It's allowing the other person to have their way, and it's learning to work through rough patches together. The other point here is that this is not about relationship behaviors. Rather, what my intent for you to take away today is this natural tendency that many, I would suggest more than many, but it's this natural tendency that humans have to equate love with punishment and reward. And a lot of that is based on how you grow up. A lot of that is determined by who your parents were, who your influences were in life. I talk about that a lot. But it's this natural tendency that we flow back into, that we fall back into in our intimate relationships. And what can happen is that a lot of times in these intimate relationships, we can find ourselves believing that the love we've received from our partner revolves around one of these two worlds. It's this unconditional or conditional, right? And if it's not a happy marriage, then it has a higher likelihood of existing, this idea of punishment and reward. And if it's an abusive relationship, well, for one, we need to talk. But if it's an abusive relationship that you're experiencing, that it has a really much more prominent likelihood that that's what you're experiencing, is this idea of punishment and reward in your relationship. But another key thing that I want you to take a look at here is this idea of raw love. Okay, so we have this image of a couple meeting and developing and growing serious, and I'm sure you can connect with that because most of us have met someone in our lives where we have the ability to do that. But here's another idea that I want you to think about when you think about love. It's this, it's really and truly a love story. I'm so into drawing pictures, and I often bring my family into this. I want to share with you just quickly, as an example, this image of when I met my youngest daughter. When she was born, it was probably one of the most precious moments in my life. I had this ability to, I spent a lot of time alone with her in the hospital, and she was just such a calm baby, and she was it's just a neat experience. But looking down into her face, and if you've experienced this, you understand what I'm talking about. There was no relationship established. There was no conditions on that relationship at this point. I just looked down at her and held her and was in awe at this new little being in my life. And there was so much emotion evolved in that moment. It's because she had nothing to offer me, right? All newborns, they have nothing that they can offer you. So there's no good or bad associated with it. They just are. And yet something that happens to us is when we gaze down into these fresh little faces, we see in some way the way that we've always wanted to experience love. it's this kind of love that is received without any attachments. There's no forethought that goes into it. It's just simply pure, it's raw. And at the moment in which we first look at a newborn baby's face, we usually are given into this idea of unconditional love. In all of my blogs, in my podcast, I'm speaking about the ways in which the world influences us. And when you think of this small baby, you understand immediately the impact that the world has on us in good and bad ways. I'm not just talking negative here. But it doesn't take that child long to learn about conditional love. And although you may never love your spouse or your child like this, you may be able to love them unconditionally. There's a great possibility that they see themselves, the way they see themselves in their eyes is skewed in this lens, right? Because the world has taught them that the view that they have is not always the truth. And so whether you do not love or experience love this way in your intimate relationships, there is still the greater world that impacts us, right? And so there's a good possibility that you, as that child, have grown up to see things skewed. Think about how many times have you felt inadequate or unloved at times? Okay, if you can't relate to that, how many of you have seen the recent suicide rates? Somewhere, some way, this image of love has gone completely awry. I'm guessing you can kind of understand where I'm at this point if you're hearing this, if this is not personal for you. You do know somebody that it is personal for you. So I suggest you're going to take away something here that's going to be valuable for you. But if you've ever felt this way, or if you feel this way now, there are a few things that you can do to alter your thoughts. In any of my individual sessions or workshops, blogs, shows, whatever it is, right? I'm always starting with this idea of truth. There are all kinds of different truths. In most of the situations, I address this idea of self-truth, being completely, totally honest with ourselves. That's not an easy thing to do. But I address that topic. I also address the idea of truth in living, or truth towards God. It's just this idea of truth, 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 right? Just truth. Because it's at the root of who we are. We have to be able to recognize that and live into that, and so that we can alter any misconceptions here. And again, that plays into the way we alter it, the way we alter truth is the way that we receive or maybe even give love. So all of that is interconnected in some way. But before I talk about these things, I want to give you some proof to why I think that they can work. Outside of the fact I've seen it work. So there's a story in the story of creation. There's a shift of life. If you look at the story, Adam and Eve realize that they are naked, and the shift occurs when they hide themselves, right? It's because these actions, inside of these actions, is a sense of self-protection, of self-preservation. Have you ever felt like you just don't want somebody to see you? You just don't want somebody to know what you're thinking, to know what's going on inside of you? Or you just don't want to be judged, and so you don't put yourself out there, right? Adam and Eve realize this. They recognize that their nakedness before each other, and they hide themselves. And the crazy thing is, they're the only two people in this garden. And yet they now have this instilled belief that they don't want to be fully known. They don't even want God to fully know them. You see, vulnerability is a very scary thing. It's also something that each of us carry around on a daily basis. But that wasn't the original plan. Originally, there was this raw purity that existed within humans. It was sinless and it was selfless. And it was not necessarily vulnerable. There's also something else that takes place here in the garden that I want you to see. Throughout the many pages of the Bible, there are very few instances in which humans see God. Lots of reasons behind that. I'm not going to go into that. But in these events that occur, God's fullness is never fully realized. It's never fully revealed to these humans. Yet, if you look back at the story of creation in the garden, when it's just Adam and Eve, God walks with the man and with the woman because there's nothing that stands between them. It's like that receiving of a newborn child. It's fresh, it's pure, it's raw, it's without vulnerability. And it saddens me to say that right now we can't get back to that place, not in this lifetime, but there are things that we can do to get close to that. And one of those goes back to this idea of being honest or truthful with ourselves. By doing this, we must be willing to see ourselves in this raw, pure form, completely exposed. That's not easy. Give yourself grace when you get to this place. I think you might need some help with this, just because it's hard to see ourselves in this completely exposed, vulnerable place. But here are some initial steps for you. I've talked about this before in other podcasts, but I want you to hear this. See yourself as God sees you. God sees you as beautiful, unique, worth loving. So in your truth moments, see yourself as God sees you. Also, take note when you don't see yourself in this way. When events happen or thoughts go through your brain and you realize that you're seeing yourself in a negative, come back, notice that, come back and then refocus again on this idea that God sees you as beautiful, unique, and worth loving, and claim that. And that's where we do this serious self-talk to change the negative. And I mentioned also that we have to be honest with others. So this is my second suggestion for you. And I know that this may mean something a little different for each of us. But the biggest piece here is that we cannot see how others see us. We see through our lens, we hear through our lens, right? But others do have their ideas of us. Some are good and some are bad. Regardless of how many times that we attempt it, we just don't have the ability to alter some opinions of us. Well, not all, but some, right? We just don't have the ability to shift every opinion of us. And in the bad ones, it's when we want to hold on loosely to their words or beliefs. And in all these cases, we want to learn to do self-check, to hear or to align what we know that God says about us to what these people are saying to us. And let me give you a couple examples here. Let's say Jimmy thinks you have a nasty personality. So then you do this self-check. Well, what does he mean by this? You really might have to ask him, because you may not present that to anybody else. And so you may have to ask this. And then when you find out what he really means by it, this also has the ability to resolve some conflicts in relationships. But when you find out what he means, then ask yourself, do I project this way to others? And if you think you do, then it might be some time to make some serious changes in yourself. But if you don't, or if you're not sure, maybe again, you have to ask somebody. But if you don't come across this way to most people, then here's what you really need to do. And it's hard for all of us, but you just need to shake that off. Shake off this idea, this negative idea that somebody has. And here's a flip side to that. What about the good side? Are people closest to me saying things that are good about me? And here is the part that we're kind of trained in our generation, older generations, we're kind of trained not to receive these good comments. In lots of reasons behind that, I'm not going to go into, but again, it could be a very hard part for us to accept these good comments. But so let's say Jimmy thinks you're really handsome or really beautiful. What's your immediate response? Do you accept it or do you dismiss it? Here are some things that you can try to do with others. That truth towards others. First of all, you can hear their words. Hear their words. Really not an easy thing to do. We're so prone to listen and not hear. There is a distinct difference between the two, but hear their words to you. Don't interpret them. Interpret them. Just hear them. Work through the harsh words fairly. Ask the things that I talked about. Is this true? Am I this way? If not, shake it off, right? Make necessary changes or just disregard them if they're comments that are harsh. And then accept the good comments, the good thoughts of us as they're intended without conditions. You cannot put a but into that statement. If somebody tells you you're beautiful, that's it. Beautiful. No but. Because these are the words of someone who loves you. This is the words that they use to express you because that's how they see you. There's one other thing that I want to mention that I believe is part of the process. And this is this idea of shifting our thoughts. And I've talked about this before and in every situation, it's a very generic idea of this take on cognitive behavioral therapy. It's this broad sense of reshifting our thoughts and our behaviors. And the first part of these kinds of changes comes through our thoughts. So when I mentioned that we should just accept the gracious words of those who care about us, it's because in our brains we have the ability to automatically reinterpret those words to mean something else. And what we usually tell ourselves is a lie. Because if Jimmy says that you're handsome, sometimes we hear those words and we tell ourselves, okay, well, no, he's just being nice. And these are just obvious examples of what could happen. There's many different things that could be going on here. But the idea is that you may or you may not need to transform your thoughts. Because if you're able to hear the words as they're intended, that's great. You need to be thankful for that gift because not everybody has that. So in this case, just be grateful, accept that compliment, and move on. But if that's not the case, then you have some real work to do. And it's in these moments that is really frustrating. I really dislike the distance between you and me because I want to just warp into your space and listen to your response to that. And I want to take this conversation to the next level. I want to watch you as you realize how blessed you are by the ability you have to shake off the world's influences, all the negativity that comes on you, and then focus on who the real you is. It's here that I want to just hold your hands and embrace you if you're in a painful place. The reality of it is, friends, that I'm not with you, and so I give you what I can. I give you words of encouragement. I give you practical and logical skills that you can use to move beyond some of these spaces. But also, I want you to know that I pray for you and I trust in some way that you are finding peace. As always, I want you to know that there are other resources out there for you. If you are looking for more information about transformation, transforming thoughts, actions, behaviors, whatever that might be, if you're looking for information about love, please know that I'm just getting started on my video cast, but you're going to be able to find a whole bunch more resources at my website at monicaswank.com. There's also a link to email me and I will respond to you. I do personal sessions with individuals as well as workshops and speaking engagements. So there are lots of resources for you. I hope that you will have a chance to check some of this out. Thank you, my friend, for letting me journey with you, and as always, blessings to you.